Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. The Reverend Jackson today weighed in on the Jackie Robinson East, Southwest, Northwest, Northeast,
North by Northwest, West,
Little League. Not happy. All right, here's the deal. You either played in the league or you didn't. Okay. We're done. Investigation over. You either played in it or you didn't. It's not as cruel as you think it is.
I do like the parents that are coming out. I think it's wrong to strip the kids of the title. Really? Do you think it's wrong to play against the rules? Do you think it's wrong to blatantly ignore the rules?
You see this and you just sit back and say, you've got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me.
How about the kids from Las Vegas? You know, nobody's defending them for not being able to go to the World Series championship game now.
Well, but what about all the other teams that may have
actually
won the thing that they beat along the way? They could have beaten somebody in the second round that actually may have gone all the way and won it.
That's exactly right.
You don't know. You don't know. And it's, unless he has proof of the other way, it's wrong for him to weigh in.
I mean, is it a shame that the kids don't have this opportunity, especially the ones that didn't break any of the rules? Absolutely. I feel bad for them because they did everything right. But, you know, you can't just go, you know what? I know you broke the rules. I know you didn't follow the format, but don't worry about it. Just go ahead and keep the trophy anyway.
Right. Wrong is wrong. Next. He made that statement today. I just shook my head and thought, you know what? Reverend Jackson, with all due respect, they either played in the league or they didn't. All right. And I'll give you an example. State College has State College American, State College National. If State College National had 11 very good players and one great player, and State College American had 5 great players and 7 very good players, and boy, if they could get that State College National kid, man, they could roll right through this thing because they'd have 6 great players. Well, I'm sorry, you can't do that. Can't. And that's in the same town. Can't do it. And the kids know. The kids would all know. Well, I thought you were on the National League team. The kids know. They aren't victims. They aren't innocent victims here. They went out, they played, they understand. You know, they all sat down and go, okay. Okay, where are you from, Bobby? I'm like 20 streets over. Oh, okay, great. All right, so it's the way it goes.
I continue to laugh, like I said, at the parents that are coming out in interviews and statements and saying, oh, I think it's wrong that you took it away from the kids. I'm sorry. You know how much I love Little League and will defend it. That's not wrong.
If you would like, we can interview all the parents of all the kids your team defeated.
Yeah, and let's see how they feel. Wrong. Let's see what have to say.
Okay. I mean, cry me a river. Okay. What about the people that actually did it right that you ended up beating? Okay. Well, we were in the championship game. We were in the championship game, maybe under false pretenses. How about that? Charles Barkley and analytics.
That was funny yesterday, Todd. his comments that you were talking about. That I hadn't heard all of them, but it does sound Barkley-esque.
Oh, it was Barkley-esque. Let me say this about analytics. Early in my career, and again, you know, when you're early in your career, you're just trying to get a feel as to what to do, and so you load up on stats and things like that. You want to make sure you're prepared, you're over-prepared, and so forth. I am now so judicious in what stats I use. They're there. I mention it. You know what stats are important to me. Okay. Here's an analytic in football I like. And it's not really an analytic. It's a fact. When Penn State has a 100-yard rusher in a game, they've won 40 of their last 44 games. I find that interesting. Goes to that James Franklin philosophy on the importance of running the football, and Jack Ham talks about that on the broadcast all the time. Penn State's won 40 of its last 44 games in which they've had a 100-yard rusher. Okay. Now, to me, that's a stat. I don't know if that's an analytic. An analytic, I think, is beyond stupid, is wins above replacement. What? Well, how do you know? Here, let's do make-believe. Let's make-believe if Mike Trout were hurt, how many wins would they have? Oh, I don't know. Until last year, they had Mike Trout, and it wouldn't have mattered whether he was in the lineup or not because they still wouldn't have made the playoffs. So I really don't care what his wins above replacement are.
Is that the one they call war or something like that?
Yeah. Now, to me, that's wins above replacement is just a dartboard guess. It's illogical. But here's where I think there is a balance. There's certain things that you can look at right away. I can look at Andrew Luck, and I can see a great quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger, great quarterback. Le'Veon Bell. You can see this. You can see it in the evaluation process. Do I need an analytic to tell me that Peyton Manning's good? Do I need an analytic to tell me that Tom Brady's really good, that Rob Gronkowski's good? Do I need an analytic for that? Or do my eyes tell me something? The late Paul Brown, who is the godfather of many things that we see in football today, you know the one thing he always absolutely needed to know? 40-yard dash time. That's the one thing he needed. He needed to know what your 40-yard dash time. Simple. Here's where I think there has to be a balance between the obvious and analytics. Certain things are obvious. You go out and you get yourself talented players, you should have a better chance of winning. I don't need analytics to do that. Do I need analytics to tell me that if I've got Mike Trout, I'm going to be a better team? Do I need analytics if I'm the Cubs to know that John Lester's my opening day starter? Do I need analytics to tell me that if LeBron James is added to the Cleveland Cavaliers, their fortunes are going to dramatically change? I mean, do I need analytics for that? Or do I need judgment, instinct, and intelligence? Okay. Now here's where I think analytics do help. I have a baseball team. I think analytics are going to help me try to fill out roster spots 15 through 25, the swing spots on my roster. That's where analytics are going to help me. They're going to help me with the good players where there's a gigantic pool of good players and which one of those good players might fit what I need. That's where analytics are going to help me. Analytics are going to help me on my football team, help me fill out roster spots 30 through 45. Analytics are going to help me on that to make some of those decisions. Analytics are going to help me on a hockey team fill out roster spots 15 through 20. That's where it's going to help. And in basketball, it's going to help me fill out roster spots 6 through 13. That's where analytics are going to help. Maybe they're going to help me determine which lineup, for example, maybe works together a little bit better. I've got some analytics here that tell me that this power play group here really clicks. The analytics show it. That's why I'm going to put them together. Analytics show, for example, this starting five group has a certain balance and synergy to it statistically that makes a big difference. That's where it helps. But it's not the be-all, end-all. I think analytics are a tool that can help you make certain close razor decisions that can be a swing as to what you do with it. I'm pretty well set, and I can look at my team, and I can figure out spots 1 through 9 and starting pitchers, you know, that take up the 10, 11, 12 spots and who my closer is. Nah, okay, who's my fourth outfielder? Who'd be a good backup catcher? Who'd be a guy that I need to be a utility infielder? I need to get some 6th, 7th, and 8th inning guys. Give me some analytics to kind of help me make a decision here, because they're really lumped in this group here, and the eyeball test is not going to be enough for me to really get a feel for it. That's where it's going to help. Where it's an aid in helping you make decisions, it can't be the be-all, end-all, the analytics say. Well, I don't really care what the analytics say. My eyes are telling me the dude can't play. I'll give you an example of a stat. 1 year, Penn State had this player, Aaron Johnson. Aaron Johnson led the Big Ten in offensive rebounding at 4 offensive rebounds per game. So I went back through the stat sheet. You know what I found? 2 out of every 4 were off of his own misses. Not as great as you think, is it? All right, next half hour, we're going to talk a little Big Ten basketball. Next half hour, we're going to talk about Bucknell Wrestling. Next half hour, we're going to talk about Big Ten basketball. Bucknell's having a great year in wrestling. We're going to talk about that. They're 13-3. And then we're going to break down the analytics of Kevin's kid.
That might take the whole next hour.
I think we're done. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody today? Everybody doing well? As you know, Penn State today the next step in moving forward with this is that starting in the 2015 season, Penn State will get its full allotment of bowl money for the Big Ten. That came out earlier today. I believe Kevin tweeted it to the masses.
I did.
Great response.
That broadcast school is really paying off.
I don't know, maybe one more class wouldn't have hurt. All right. Cindy's mad now. Don't do that to Kevin. Look, it's great. It's another step forward for the athletic department financially, money they can count on next year that they did not count on a year ago. So that's a plus. For football, it's another step in, you know, with normalcy. Now they, you know, they'll get the 85 scholarships in 16. They'll have 25, 85 like everybody else. So, I mean, that's all in place. The only thing about this that I'll say that I think would have been a good faith gesture by the Big Ten would be there was when the consent decree came forward and the Big Ten put its additional sanction in about the bowl money. Bowl money was at one level. But when the college football playoff came out, the bowl money take for the conference and conferences, all of them, increased, which, of course, is above the level. Penn State participated last year and did kick in its share to the Big Ten bowl allotment. And I felt that, okay, I understand that you have money put away already for other schools to distribute to local charities. That's great. That's fabulous. But there's now this difference, and I thought Penn State earned at least a portion of the difference, if not all of the difference. Well, it turned out that's not the decision, and that's the only part that I look at and say, you know what, in the area of, quote, fairness, but at least Penn State is going to get its full allotment of bowl money beginning in 2015, and that's going to help a lot of sports across the board. So it's a step forward and go from there. Dan Wurzberger joins us, the head wrestling coach at Bucknell. Dan, congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. Great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, let's talk about the development and growth. Get to this position where you have some depth across the board that can swing dual meets certain ways.
Well, I think just consistency, you know, and really I think that a big part of the consistency with our program and our organization, specifically this year, is our guys staying healthy. And when you're talking a program like ours where we're not, you know, we don't have the depth that some other institutions might have, it's just that critical that our guys stay healthy for most, if not all, of the wrestling season. If I have a guy or two go down, it's really hard to fill in that gap and to make that up. But fortunately, we've had a guy or two that's been banged up, and they've just fallen in spots where we've had capable young men that have been able to step in there, and just based on their preparation, they've been preparing in the practice room like they were a starter all along. And when you're preparing that way, and have that type of mentality and attitude, and looking for your opportunity, when your opportunity comes knocking, hey, those guys have been able to step in and perform at a high level without us missing a beat.
When you get into key dual meets, and then, of course, you get into a postseason tournament, you have to have one or two guys that can swing it for you, whether it's a dual meet or a tournament with some bonus points. Who are the couple of guys that you look at, and if they don't give you bonus points, you're surprised?
Yeah, I think you just got to look at the front end and the back end of our lineup. You know, on the front end, we got a nationally ranked guy and a junior captain, Paul Petroff. That guy always gets the momentum train started for us. He's very, very consistent. He's a lifestyle guy, lives and breathes the lifestyle, just not, you know, what we require him to do, but away from the athletic arena is a big deal in his life, and that's why he has success. And that guy's always fighting for the next point, and a majority of the time, you're pretty confident and feel good in his effort out there as far as getting bonus points. Then anytime you're ending your dual meet with one of the better heavyweights in the country, you know, you're talking about a top 15 guy in the country named Joe Stolfi, He leads the nation in pins right now, NCAA Division I wrestling. He leads the nation in pins with 16 on the year. So that's a pretty good guy to have on the tail end. And if you're close in a dual meet, or you know, even down in a dual meet, but it's close, you feel pretty confident when Joe Stolfi steps on the mat, because he's always the thing that distinguishes himself from the rest of the competition at the heavyweight weight class is this guy wrestles like a lightweight. He could be up 6-1 or 8-2 and a minute left in the match, and most guys are just holding on or dancing like a bunch of bears. And this guy is out there always looking to score. He's always looking to score the next point, and he's always going for something, which can put you a little bit on edge. But I've seen him for so long now, and so confident with him that he's a confident guy, and he's always looking for the bonus points.
Dan, that was a revealing moment by you. he can put you a little on edge once in a while. And sure. I know who you were talking about. You were talking about you.
Probably. Yeah, absolutely. Always on edge.
When you watch the growth of your program, you're now a top 25 program.
Sure.
Success breeds success. What kind of confidence do you see in your wrestling room, because success can breed success?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the leadership, the culture of the team, the program, and the leadership. We got some phenomenal leaders, and when those young guys are coming in, because we have our junior class, Joe Stolfi, Paul Petroff, and then you got two freshmen that are making an immediate impact in our program, and Tyler Smith and Tom Slay, a 41-pounder and 84-pounder. Those guys are coming in and seeing the work ethic and the mentality and the lifestyle that these older guys live. Hey, they just jump right in. And for us, to be consistently, when we broke into the top 25 for the first time in program history, I was like, wow, this is really cool. And, deep down inside, I was like, well, how long can we stay here now? That was my thing. And here we are 8 weeks later, and we just progressively moved up, where we're 22nd in the country now. And that says a lot about our kids, the character of our guys on the team, their approach to the sport, not just, during wrestling practice or during a training workout, but away from the athletic arena. These guys are serious about their academics, their schoolwork, as far as lifestyle-wise, nutrition, who they're hanging out with, getting rest, all that's just as valuable and just as important as what we do with them here inside the athletic arena. So, just having that team culture and that leadership, that breeds confidence with the rest of the organization.
Now set a school record for wins in a year. I know you take it one at a time, but what does that, the overall meaning for the future of the program that you did something like that?
Oh, the future's bright, and obviously that's a great accomplishment for our guys. I mean, we have 13 wins under our belt, and we're only losing one guy, our 197-pounder Tyler Lister, who's been a big factor in our program over the last 4 years in our development. He's graduating, but everyone else is returning, and we're adding a couple new additions next year that we think can step in and perform at a high level right away out of the gate. But to have 13 wins, we got four more duels left, and hopefully we can end it the right way this weekend and the following weekend and win these four remaining duels and end up with 17 wins on the year. And it just gives these guys, that type of success gives these guys automatic confidence. They can walk around, with their heads up, their chests out, and feel good about what they're able to accomplish. And that's really great from a team aspect, but obviously in the sport of wrestling, with it being an individual sport, team success is a lot of fun to be a part of that. But at the same time, big part of our season's coming up, that first week in March and third week in March with our conference EIWA championships and then the NCAA tournament. And a lot of programs, coaches and individuals are defined by how they finish the year, and rightly so. I think it's important to see that you finish strong, finish the right way, and bring home maybe our first national champion in program history, and a couple All-Americans.
You mentioned Tyler Lister winning at one. He won at 197 by a pin. He pinned Brett Dempsey the other day when you beat American.
Sure.
How does it feel to see him as a senior? And everything that the two of you have gone through together, to enjoy some of this success together, because he's been along for a good chunk of this ride.
It's outstanding, when he came in here, the program was at one level, and when he's leaving, it's at another level. And when you can see that kind of progress, it's fun, and you feel good about the individual that's been a part of the process, because Division I athletics in general, and I just don't know the perspective of Division I wrestling, man, it's like life in general. When you get out there in the real world, there's a lot of peaks and there's a lot of valleys, but there have a tendency to be more valleys than there are peaks. So you really want to take in those moments when you're doing well and you are successful, because what defines your career ultimately is how you respond to those moments in your career when you have disappointment, when you're down in the dumps, when you have to pick yourself up, when you're in the valley. You know, how do you respond to that moment? That ultimately defines your career as a student athlete and what I think beyond, you know, once you enter the real world. Because the easy thing to do, the human nature thing to do, is to get complacent or to give up, or just to make an excuse or point the finger and say this is too hard. You know, the tough thing, the challenging thing, is to pick yourself up, roll up your sleeves, and have that workmanlike mentality and go back to work and figure out what you need to do to become better next time, or to get yourself back on top. And Tyler Lister is a, you know, he's that kind of kid that's done that from start to finish here. He's had a lot of difficult times, a lot of challenging moments, a lot of sweat. I've seen a lot of tears. And when you can come out on the other end and have individual success and then see the team have team success, and he's been a huge part of that, being a senior leader and a senior captain, that's always a good feeling for him. I know that, and it's a great feeling for me as a coach to watch that progression.
Still have more dual meets to go, as you mentioned, four more. But then it's the EIWA tournament. That's the key to get you to the NCAAs. In general, what's the depth like in the EIWA, and which, give me one or two weight classes that might be a little bit more loaded with depth than others?
Well, it's a tremendous league, the EIWA. It's if you look at the number of NCAA qualifiers, the number of NCAA All-Americans and national champions every year that come out of the NCAA tournament, I mean, the EIWA ranks second or third in line, you know, behind the Big Ten. And it's a very prestigious conference, you know, from an academic standpoint, and which is challenging. And then athletically, I mean, you're looking at some of the best individuals and best programs in the country. You know, when you're talking about Cornell and Lehigh and University of Pennsylvania, Army, Navy, you know, we feel like we're in the mix there now as far as in the EIWA. So it's a tough league. You better be ready to go, you know, when you go to that tournament that first week in March. I mean, you better be, you know, that's our thing that we preach with our guys, is get yourself feeling the best. You know, the individual that typically feels their best gives themselves the best opportunity to be successful and get their hand raised at the end of the day or at the end of that particular match. And so that's what we're shooting for, just living a good, healthy lifestyle. I look at it, hey, and you come to this time of the year, it's lifestyle versus lifestyle. You know, am I living a cleaner lifestyle than maybe my opponent's living? And, you know, you should almost have a little panic about it, where you're doing everything in particular right in your life. And because I think it adds up, especially at the end of the year, a long Division I wrestling season. You know, what you did in the summertime, what you did in the preseason, what you've been doing through the course of the year, it adds up. And you're definitely, there's nowhere to hide in March, and you're rewarded for what you've been able to put into the sport. But EIWA is a great league, and I don't know if there's a couple weight classes in particular that are better than others. Obviously, there's some that have a little bit more depth than others, but it's extremely challenging all the way through.
Dan, an absolute pleasure. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. Best of luck in the stretch run. Thanks a lot for the time.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, we will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Herr, white suit. Dance floor, his. They clear. And time now for Disco Inferno. To Kevin, we say, burn, baby, burn. All right. Dick and Milton. Hi, Dick. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you having Coach Wernsberger on the air and get some publicity for his team. They do wrestle Friday night against Strickland and Marshall, and then they wrestle Army, West Point, on Saturday at home. So they have two home matches. But, you know, somebody that spends a lot of time around these kids, I'll tell you what, they are some of the neatest kids you'd want to interact with. They're polite, courteous, and they really do. They put in a lot of effort, a lot of hard work.
I think we lost Dick there for a second.
I believe so.
a lot of the other teams do. I mean, they pretty much all do the same thing. People don't realize how much time is in preparation to play 1 hour or one quarter or one, you know, whatever the amount of time they get into a game. They put in a lot of effort, and I really appreciate you getting Coach Hornsberg on the air.
Well, we were very happy to have him on the air, and I think it's great to publicize a program where hard work, lifestyle, very, very important to what he's trying to do there, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, obviously getting to the level of a Penn State and what they have up there is, you know, that's probably never going to be achievable at a school like Bucknell. But I'll tell you what, though, run program, and when you talk to Coach Hornsberger, he is exactly what he sounds like coming across the air.
And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have him on, because of what you just said.
Well, thanks a lot, Steve.
My pleasure, Dick. Thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. 800-795-9565. The Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, made a personal plea saying they've turned the players into perpetrators. Look, the bottom line is, okay, here's one for you. Here, my response to the mayor is this. I'm in Chicago downtown next month. It's your job. Okay? Do your job.
I just do not understand the mindset that it's okay to cheat because we don't want to make the kids, we don't want to punish the kids for it. I understand there are some kids here that had nothing to do with this and they're getting a raw deal. I get it. But you know what?
I get it. But you know, all the teams that they beat all got a raw deal because they had to face a team.
That's exactly
that. Okay, so what about them? I mean, you know, if you'd like, you know, we can give them the phone numbers of all the players and the parents of the teams that they beat, and he can call them up and tell them how badly he feels about it.
But is anybody talking about that? No.
Well, no. But he's up for re-election in Chicago right now too.
That explains a lot.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. The whole world isn't stupid. You can get away with some things, but you can't get away with like with people who can actually think. I understand he has a temper. All right. I don't live there. I don't care.
Doesn't bother me.
Bother me at all. Yeah, for the kids that are legitimately a part of that league, I feel badly for them. But what they did accomplish,